The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
One of the greatest mysteries of life is the question of what happens to a person after death. Does a dead person's soul go to heaven or hell immediately upon dying? What does the Bible say about life after death? Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Richard Ames asks, is there life after death? Now, Richard Ames.
Warm greetings to you all. One of the greatest trials in life is facing the death of a loved one, particularly if it's sudden and unexpected. We sorrow and we mourn over such loss. Our family and friends are very precious to us. Whether death strikes at a young age or at the end of a long life, we experience the pain of loss, and we wonder, will we ever see them again? When we consider the end of life, we ask, is there any hope for the future? Yes, there is hope for the future. There's hope for your deceased son, daughter, husband, wife, relative, or friend. How do we know there's hope? Because the Creator of life itself, God Almighty, reveals the truth in your Bible. If you have a Bible, be sure to have it with you as you join us on Tomorrow's World. You'll also want to be prepared to write down scriptural references and the address and phone number for the free literature we offer on each program. The Bible gives us the answers to the mysteries of life. If someone dies, will he or she live again? Let's go directly to one of the basic and fundamental answers in your Bible, Hebrews 9, verse 27. Hebrews 9 and verse 27. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment. As physical human beings with a physiochemical existence, we all die, and yet there's an awesome purpose for each individual's life. We've discussed that on previous programs. Now let's see what the Bible says about Christians who die. Do they go to heaven immediately when they die? Let's see the surprising answer. There are two chapters in the Bible that clearly explain our hope for the future after death, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians the 15th chapter. But first, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. This is a very important passage. First of all, notice that the Apostle Paul refers to death as a sleep. He does not describe them as being active or alive in heaven. They're asleep or dead until the coming of Christ, his second coming. Now let's go on to verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Notice again that the resurrection takes place at Christ's second coming, as it says in verse 16, with the trumpet of God. That's the last trumpet, the seventh trumpet described in the book of Revelation. Also notice this, very important, the same verse, verse 16, and the dead in Christ will rise first. True Christians who have died are not resurrected until Christ returns. Those of us who are alive when Christ returns will join those who have been dead all these centuries and millennia. Now they'll be resurrected to receive the promised gift of eternal life. That is what genuine Christians look forward to. The resurrection is the hope of a Christian. At one time, the Apostle Paul was being judged and examined by the Jewish Sanhedrin. Paul made the resurrection the major issue. He spoke to the assembly of both Pharisees and Sadducees. You can read about that in Acts, the 23rd chapter, Acts 23 and verse 6. But when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Concerning the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am being judged." Now, was Paul saying that he would go to heaven when he died? Absolutely not. Paul was looking forward to the resurrection from the dead at the return of Christ. Read it in your own Bible. In the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul spoke of his faith in Christ and his future goal of the resurrection. Philippians 3 and verse 10. "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." My friends, as shocking as it may sound, the Bible teaches that when one dies, he or she remains dead until the resurrection. The Apostle Paul never speaks of them as being alive in heaven or hell. He refers to deceased Christians as those who sleep in Jesus, as we saw in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14. Sleep is used here as a metaphor for death. Even Jesus himself also used that metaphor. Let's examine that in John, the 11th chapter. Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha of the town of Bethany, was ill. But he died before Jesus arrived. John 11 and verse 11. Jesus said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." Then his disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." My friends, be sure to read this in your own Bible. Lazarus had died from a sickness. Did he go to heaven at the moment of his death? If he did, then Jesus would have had to command Lazarus to give up this new spiritual glory and come back to a mundane physical life. That doesn't make sense. Lazarus did not go to heaven after he died. Neither did he go to the mythical ever-burning hell. Lazarus was dead. Jesus said so. Notice that Lazarus had been in the tomb 4 days. Jesus went to the tomb over which a large stone had been placed to cover the entrance. Let's pick up the story in John 11 and verse 39. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Jesus, the Son of God, was about to demonstrate the power of the resurrection. In this case, it was a resurrection to physical life, not the resurrection to glory and immortality. Lazarus' sisters, Martha and Mary, had requested Jesus to come heal Lazarus of his sickness. Jesus delayed and arrived sometime after Lazarus' death. Jesus told Martha in verse 23, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will arise again in the resurrection at the last day." You see, Martha knew about the resurrection, the same resurrection the Apostle Paul later wrote about. Verse 25, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Yes, Jesus said, though he may die, he shall live. Once the great resurrection takes place, as described in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15, the glorified, resurrected saints will never die. That's the promise of eternal life. But it requires faith in the Savior of the world, the one who is the resurrection and the life. After the stone was removed from the entrance to the tomb, Jesus cried out to the dead man Lazarus, John 11 and verse 43. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. Lazarus was resurrected to live out the remainder of his natural life. It was an awesome miracle. It was testifying to the fact that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, the Son of God. But the chief priests and Pharisees were very upset at this miracle of Lazarus' resurrection. And from then on, they plotted to put Jesus to death. You can read about that the remainder of chapter 11. Now, if there is an immortal soul in each human, how do you explain the condition of death as a sleep, which we've seen the Bible plainly teaches? And what about non-Christians? What happens to them? We'll answer those questions in the second half of our program. At this time, I'd like to offer you a free audio cassette of this program entitled, Is There Life After Death? There are so many misconceptions about heaven, hell, and the resurrection. You need to study what the Bible plainly teaches. With this audio tape, you'll have opportunity for personal Bible study on your own time. Be sure to request your free audio tape of this program. Just pick up the telephone right now and request your free copy, Is There Life After Death?
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insight on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
In the first part of our program, we saw that the Bible teaches that a dead person remains dead until the resurrection. Both the Apostle Paul and Jesus referred to death as a sleep. And one who is dead has no consciousness and remains in the grave until the resurrection. Listen to what Jesus said in John 5, verse 28. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation or judgment, as other translations have it. The hope for all of us is the resurrection. Faithful Christians are resurrected to immortality at the second coming of Christ. Now, let's understand one important truth. We do not already have immortality. It is a gift from God. Just read this in Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Notice that the Scripture does not state the wages of sin is immortal life in hellfire. The wages of sin is not immortal life, but death. The absence of life. If you already have an immortal soul, if you already have eternal life, then you don't need it as a gift from God. My friends, you need the gift of eternal life because you were not born with it. It's a wonderful gift through our living Savior, Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul describes this dramatic transformation that takes place at the time of the last trumpet announcing the return of Christ. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15, and verse 51. Most Christians are familiar with the majestic music of Handel's Messiah. In part of this oratorio, we hear these inspiring words sung from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Victory over death takes place at this great resurrection of the saints. Faithful Christians remain in the grave until the second coming of Christ. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Yes, there will be victory over death at the last trumpet. And in the same verse, we see that this mortal must put on immortality. But why should there be a need for immortality if humans already have an immortal soul? The Bible reveals that souls are not immortal. A soul can die. For instance, the prophet Ezekiel tells us in Ezekiel 18, verse 4, "The soul who sins shall die." The Hebrew word for soul is nephesh, which means physical or natural life. And the same word nephesh also refers to animal life in Genesis 1 and verse 21. But you may be thinking that's in the Old Testament. So what does the New Testament tell us about souls? Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 10 and verse 28. Matthew 10, verse 28, where Jesus is speaking. "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell," or in the original Gehenna, Gehenna fire. Do you believe your Bible? Do you believe what Jesus said? God is able to destroy, yes, destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. There are many other scriptures to demonstrate that one does not have an immortal soul. As God inspired the prophet Ezekiel to state, "The soul who sins shall die." The good news is that we will all be resurrected. Let's take a look at one more example of someone special in the Bible, King David, who was a man after God's own heart. Has David gone to heaven, as many believe, or is he still in the grave? In the kingdom of God yet to come, King David will be the ruler over all the tribes and nations of Israel and Judah. You can read about that in Ezekiel 37, verse 24, and Jeremiah 30, verse 9, for example. Certainly David should be in heaven, if the righteous go to heaven the moment they die. Well, the Bible plainly points out he's not there. Acts 2 and verse 29. The Apostle Peter gave the very first inspired sermon in the New Testament church on the day of Pentecost. Acts 2, 29. "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day." After the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, David was still dead and buried. Notice this. Peter went on to state plainly in verse 34, "For David did not ascend into the heavens." Read it in your own Bible. Don't believe me. David is awaiting the resurrection, as are all the other faithful saints. So far in this program, we've learned that faithful Christians will be resurrected at the return of Jesus Christ to this earth, at the last trumpet. They'll be transformed from mortal to immortal, from a natural body to a spiritual body. It'll be a glorious time. Now, what about those who've never been converted to true Christianity? What happens to them when they die? Dr. Meredith explained the answer to that question in a program entitled, "Is This the Only Day of Salvation?" Let's briefly review this question. Turn in your Bibles to Revelation, the 20th chapter. Revelation, chapter 20. Here we find that when Christ returns, Satan will be incarcerated and bound up in the abyss for 1,000 years. When Christ returns, the faithful saints will be immortalized. Revelation 20 and verse 4. "And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Then we read a parenthetical statement. "But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished." Then we go back to the original. "This is the first resurrection," referring to the saints who rule with Christ 1,000 years. "Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. The first resurrection, as it's called, is for the saints, faithful Christians. But if there's a first resurrection, there's also a second resurrection. The Apostle Paul spoke about the order of resurrections in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Now, the rest of the dead, as they're called, are those who come under judgment. They'll be resurrected to physical life. But notice the good news concerning this judgment. After the kingdom of God rules on this earth for 1,000 years, There'll be a great resurrection of billions of people to judgment. It's referred to as the White Throne Judgment. Revelation 20 and verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. This is a resurrection. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The Greek word for books is biblion. The books, or the Bible, are open to the understanding of the masses of people for the very first time. The resurrection to physical life from the valley of dry bones, described by the prophet Ezekiel, also takes place at this time. The book of life is finally open to them. This will be their first opportunity to really learn the truth. This is not a second chance, as some would like to call it. All human beings will be held accountable for their actions and their thoughts. But this will be the first time for many to see their sins, to the extent they'll have the opportunity to repent of their sins and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Even atheists and other non-believers will have their first opportunity to face the ultimate reality to which they were blinded. The great astronomer Carl Sagan stated this: "If some good evidence for life after death were announced, I'd be eager to examine it, but it would have to be real scientific data, not mere anecdote. Better the hard truth, I say, than the comforting fantasy." True Christians know there is a reality beyond the physical, natural world of science. That ultimate reality, the God of the Bible, created the universe Carl Sagan studied. And the Creator will resurrect Carl Sagan and others to teach them some awesome truths to which they were blinded. What an irony, and what a blessing. There will be many others who will be resurrected to the White Throne Judgment. Remember that Jesus boldly stated that it would be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for others who knew better. You can read about that in Matthew, the 11th chapter. And the Sodomites were burned to a crisp for their wickedness. Jesus also said that the ancient people of Nineveh would also rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it. He also spoke of the Queen of the South rising up in the same judgment. You can read about those examples in Matthew, the 12th chapter. Yes, there is hope for non-Christians. Most of them will wait in the grave until the White Throne Judgment and then have their first opportunity to learn the truth and how to live the true way of life. Then ultimately, there's the final punishment for those who have sealed their conscience, sealed their character to reject the love of God and the sacrifice of Christ. These incorrigibly wicked will then be burned up in the lake of fire and totally destroyed. Their soul and body will be destroyed in Gehenna fire, as Jesus said. The comforting news is that everyone who has ever lived or died, all of those are asleep in the grave and are not suffering. Death is the absence of life. As it tells us in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 5, "For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing." The dead experience no conscious passing of time. They know nothing. So in the next split second of their consciousness, they'll awake in the resurrection. The truth is comforting. There will be a future day of salvation, an opportunity for those who have been blinded to the gospel. God is fair and just. Well, I know there are many questions that we've not had time to address on this program. Perhaps you're thinking of Lazarus and the rich man in Luke 16. Jesus was portraying the judgment of one who was about to be thrown into the lake of fire and totally destroyed. He was receiving the just torment of his rebellion before his ultimate punishment. And then there was the transfiguration on the mount in Matthew 17. Were Moses and Elijah really alive? No. Jesus told his disciples to tell the vision to no one. It was a vision previewing the coming kingdom of God on earth. My friends, Jesus said in John 11, verse 25, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." There is life after death, but only when the general resurrections take place. You need to really study this subject. It means your future for all eternity. And God promises those who really respond to his calling, who really repent and are baptized, who are faithful through their Savior Jesus Christ, God promises a glorious future. But we need to be prepared for that future. Turn to Colossians, the third chapter, Colossians 3 and verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, that is through the symbolism of baptism, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, symbolically, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. The resurrection is to immortality. The resurrection is to glory. We look forward to that great and wonderful time. To help you with your study of this extremely vital subject, we'd like to offer you a free audio tape of this program. You need to be informed. With this audio tape, you'll have opportunity for a personal Bible study on your own time, and you'll be able to review the scriptural references and information we've covered on this program. There's no cost or obligation, so pick up the telephone right now and request your free audio tape entitled, Is There Life After Death? The truth is powerfully comforting and inspiring. Just write or phone for your free copy, Is There Life After Death?
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insight on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
We hope you'll join us every week on Tomorrow's World. The truth of the Bible is vital to your happiness and your future. Dr. Meredith and I will be discussing Bible truths that have been hidden from so many. The Creator's purpose is to offer a glorious future for every human being. We'll be covering Bible prophecy, principles of joyous living, and the great mysteries of life as revealed in your Bible. So be sure to join us again next week, right here, at this same time.
The informative audio cassette offered on this program is yours absolutely free if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. That address again is www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program was produced by the Living Church of God.